Riders, you guessed it, you're back with another episode on the Bus Podcast, the podcast. Well, it's just that podcast is taking the show on the road to South America and cover the continent of South America, covering incredible stories, reaching out, connecting with incredible people. And this next series, not just today's podcast, is going to be more of that. We partnered over with Launch Co-working Space here in Santiago, Chile. In the next 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 podcasts are going to be with several entrepreneurs and startups, as well as accelerators, working here at the Launch Co-working Space in Santiago, Chile. Huge shout out to Launch Co-working Space, and huge shout out for connecting us with all these incredible people. Now, before we get to today's episode, I know, number one, apologies for the voice, but the real number one, we got to get to our advertisements and sponsors. And first of all, we have that Amazon portal, and I gotta give you a huge thank you and a huge shout out to everybody who's been shopping through that portal. I'm seeing big money being spent in there. So huge thanks to all of you who continue to spend and who continue to click on that Amazon portal before you get your Amazon shopping done. We know it might be a hassle. We know it's not a hassle for you. You love it. You enjoy doing it. And we're so grateful and thank you. And to everybody else who wants to know how they can support this podcast, all these listeners from Thailand, I don't know how you guys are all listening, but I see you. I see you downloading the show, and I'm thankful and grateful for all those downloads. Can't believe you guys love the show this much. But again, everybody's shopping on Amazon. The Amazon's a worldwide marketplace for you to get anything and everything that you need. Toilet paper, your groceries. It can be a hassle. It can be so much traffic getting in places, going somewhere. Don't sit in traffic. You can spend that time doing so much more thing. Don't spend it doing work. Don't you dare do it. Spend the time with your family, your loved ones, whoever those may be. That could be your dog. It could be your child. It could be your family, your wife, husband, each and everything it could be. Spend more time with them and head on over to that Amazon portal at onthebuspodcast.com. It's going to be in the top features on the homepage and get your shopping done. Again, huge thanks to all of you. And number two, we got those lovely. Wouldn't call them lifesavers, but gifted medicine healers over at greenroadsworld.com, the largest CBD producer and CBD manufacturer in Florida. And guys, these people are blowing up, and they just continue to make better products and more products in ways that you can enjoy the medical benefits from CBD oil. And CBD oil is the masculine part of the marijuana plant, where you're going to have from the hemp properties. And from the hemp properties, you're going to get those from the female properties of marijuana, which is the female part of the plant, but you're gonna get some great medicinal healing properties that come extracted from the hemp flower. That's from the CBD. It's the CBD oil itself. And the best part about this is the CBD oil can be put into so many different products, from topical creams, coffee, tea. I know if you've listened to these ads before, you've listened to me go off on the incredible ways you can enjoy these amazing medical and healing properties. And again, you're going to get a 15% discount when you use promo code on the bus. I know a lot of you have used that stuff. I know a lot of you have benefited from using these things. I know Daniel and I really enjoy using it. Max really uses, he's been using his own stuff made out in Oregon. We got him using that Green Roads World shit. Green Roads World, number one. So again, that 15% discount is going to be using promo code on the bus, lowercase letter, all one word, O-N-T-H-E-B-U-S. I know I say it every week, but I gotta remember, make sure this mind's still working. And you're gonna get yourself a 15% discount. And give yourself and everyone else the gift of good health today. Now on to today's guest. It's the first episode of the Launch Co-working Series. We have the founders of Emprendo Verde, Humberto Salinas, and Annika Schuttler. Emprendo Verde is the first high-impact sustainable business accelerator in Chile and the largest sustainable entrepreneurship network in Latin America. Now, they do this through their consulting group, Pi Partner Group, and they support and advise clients in the development of new sustainable businesses. They're not just a group that advises, though. They also accelerate different new green startups in and around Latin America. They have some really cool projects going on, and we talk about those on the show, from a whole new concept of how to prevent deforestation and how to reforest, and I guess you would say reforestation, on a project that's happening in Mexico, and how to even take water out of the driest places on the earth, which are in Chile, up in the San Pedro de Atacama region in the north. But we don't just talk green on this episode of the show. We talk about business and where it's not just about injecting a business into a culture, into a civilization, into a society, but it's also
creating a community around green energy, green project, and sustainability. Much more easier said than done. We talk about the struggles and the trials Annika and Humberto face in trying to get a green community and green culture. We also talk about where Latin America stands in the world in sustainable energy, sustainable cultures, and sustainable renewable energies. This is a short little podcast, but it's chock full of information. Thank you so much, Humberto and Annika. Let's get on the bus. Okay. Here we go. Guys, what's going on? Second podcast for me, just one right into another. I know we're short on time for this one. We're outside the Launch co-working space, literally parked right outside with the bus. You guys ever seen a bus like this before?
No, actually not. Well, one time, the guys, when we first started sort of an initiative we have, which is called Emprendo Verde, sort of green startup, somehow like this was a network of sustainable startups. There were a few guys who also had sort of an educational bus, also with a very sustainable sort of proposal. They also had solar energy and they were driving on biofuel, and they went through Chile giving sort of they stopped at schools, and then they were giving courses and everything. So
I tell you that the bus working with vegetal oil. Yes.
Impressive. Especially it's one of these. I mean, you can easily convert these things. I wouldn't say easily, but it's a process.
It's a process.
Especially a diesel engine such as this, but it can all be done, and it can all happen. But do those things actually run better in terms of on vegetable oil and against diesel?
I don't know. How it finally worked, but at least they traveled through Chile and somehow made it.
I'm so much of a grease monkey. I expect everybody to know automotive questions like me now. Okay. I've never been a mechanic before, but had to do these things to get this bus going. Yeah, I mean, you guys are the largest sustainable entrepreneurship in Latin America itself, right?
Yeah.
And you started this. You came over from being working at a bank.
Yes.
And how did you get the idea to say, "Oh, I'm going to leave a job"? I'm guessing you worked 8 hours a day and said, "This is what I want to do. I'm going to start the largest."
I don't decide to leave my job. decided. They decide for me. And then we start a small company, a small consultancy with Annika. Okay. And I know about business, and Annika know about the sustainable in general, no? In this time, in general. And we mix both knowledge, and we start with Emprendo Verde in this time.
Lovely. And where are you coming from? Not today. We went over that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, in general, I'm from Germany, and I studied in Holland, and my main topic has always been sustainability of water usage. So and then we started off with the Emprendo Verde and also with the technology which is called the Water Box. Today it's also the Grow Box, which is sort of a device with which you can plant trees, making usage of very little amount of water. So it's for reforestation. And and these were sort of the two things that we started with when we started the company, and we're still doing.
Is that one of the devices? I know they do these for farming. They, you know, keep like those little domes around where the base of the plant is or the place of the tree is to keep the water in there, so most of it's not lost to getting shot otherwise.
It's similar, but it's a little bit more complete because what you're saying, I think it's called the water bag or something like that, which is sort of a bag that goes around the tree. But it's a similar thought. But the water box as such gives water to the plant and covers the water so the water doesn't evaporate, and also sort of covers the place where the water then, sort of the earth where the water falls to, so it also doesn't evaporate. But it also, for example, when it rains, it recollects the rainwater. And then it also gives shadow to the plant in the root, sort of where the root is. So you can really, especially in the first time when the plant is just being planted, there's sort of an adaptation time. So you help the plant to not have such harsh conditions. And it also, in places where humidity is right, sort of ambient humidity, it also captures sort of humidity from the air. And well, the first device that is still being used is of, was made of plastic and had a sort of a wool wick, which was a cotton wick, which was giving the water bit by bit. And now they developed
like dripping, like
sort of, well, no, the as the water is in the device, and then you have the small wick, and then the wick gets wet, so it wetens sort of the floor beneath it. And and then now what was the topic with this sort of plastic divide was that it was also a little bit more expensive. So for large reforestation, you would always have to reuse it, but it's actually something that no one calculates on. You normally do the reforestation and you don't think of then afterwards disinstalling the plastic device and then reinstalling it. So the guy, which is a guy from Holland, he's called Peter Hoff, who founded the company and also is the inventor of the product, he said, well, there must be a biodegradable one, which is sort of low cost, but you can just install and leave it, and then it biodegrades with time when the plant is already okay with, sort of has already grown and just lives by itself, because that's what reforestation is about. You help the plant at the beginning, but then afterwards it has to survive by itself, otherwise
it's a great product, because you with 14 or 15 liters you have a tree and you have never irrigated in the life.
What is the percentage of reforestation with a device like this? Like,
well, the thing is, now that there's the biodegradable version, you now have it has been launched in March, sort of the marketable version, and now in Mexico they have huge projects of 10,000 hectares, and I mean that's a real large project. That's why also they put the factory that produces the devices in Mexico and everything in Baja California. They are doing these projects. Okay. And then now it also here it has to we're also now taking off with it, because we did a lot of trial plantations with the plastic device, and now now that we have the lower cost version, now the interest is large to reforest with that.
Yeah, we start with this product.
So this is your guys' first product that you decided, now you didn't accelerate this, or you were able to network this company with other investors and other companies?
No, like that's our own. No.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah.
So yes. Peter Hoff, right?
Well, no, Peter Hoff is the founded the company in Holland, and we are the distributors here.
Okay, gotcha. It's interesting with the world getting hotter. I don't want to offend some people, they don't think it is.
Yeah.
You know, especially getting drier as well. There's much less water. Water is getting much more, not just harder to come by. And we're going to see, different countries in the future, protecting their water, keeping water from flowing to other countries with dams. But now it's
wow.
Oh. Seriously, reason that for life. Okay. Someone's mad at me. So now, we're trying to conserve and be the most optimal and efficient with the water, to preserve the green on our planet.
Yeah.
Devices like this for farming irritability. I mean, what does the future look like, and how are all these different companies, like, why are they looking to be more green initiatives?
Well, I think water is the basis of everything, not only of life, obviously, but also of every productive process. So, for example, here in the north of Chile, we have the whole mining industry that highly depends on water.
People don't realize that, yeah.
Well, now you have these whole, it's not only devices that try to diminish the usage of water, but it's also water treatment, water desalination. There are a lot of things that are coming up now. And in Chile you have the particular situation that as such the country is rich in water, because you have, one of the biggest water reserves in the south, where you have the glaciers and everything. I mean, it's totally rich in from Temuco down to south, from rivers to the glaciers, you have a lot of water. But then you have the driest desert in the world in the north. So there's sort of a distribution problem, and there's also maybe a regulation and coordination problem, and there's also a big problem that water is just being disposed. I mean, you see buildings being built that have no reason, I mean, there's no thinking about reusing water, which is sort of a basic thing. And then you saw, well, when there were this whole building boom, which is already sort of going down, no one thought about putting a regulation that you have to have buildings where water is recycled in a place where water is scarce, as in the desert, for example.
Yeah,
it's
crazy. How much are people, you know, whether you want to say governments, especially one like Chile where you guys work, are they like accepting? Are they taking on, you know, all these initiatives? Or are there subsidies they throw you guys? Or,
well, I think they are slowly. Yeah, I mean, there's slow. There's sort of a conscience that is developing, but I mean, you have to think that the Ministry of the Environment in Chile is a very recent institution. I think it was created in
2011. Yeah, see.
Or maybe a little bit after. But well, in the first government of Bachelet.
We was the last country to be minister of environment.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect that. I would never guess. Yeah. I mean, we've traveled most of the countries with this bus, and you know, a lot of the, you know, people launching startups, whether it's in Colombia or Ecuador, you know, you realize a lot of push and pull, you know. Colombia, for example, to get something done, you got to be on the phone, you know, maybe days and days on end. These guys have the largest fitness startup in Mexico, and Mexico and Colombia.
Yeah.
But we also imported this bus into Cartagena, and it was a nightmare. It took me 4 days just to get it done, and you know, going here to going there to getting this person to sign the papers and getting this person to get it done, and lunchtime and siesta. I can't imagine. Like now knowing in Chile, do you guys still face some of those battles in order to get some things done? Because working on the business side, you know, the rest of the world moves at an incredible, much faster, different rate.
Yeah.
Well, I think in comparison to many of the other Latin American countries, Chile moves fast, but they are still sort of, in the whole sustainability area, and that's also what you see, for example, in the evaluations. Chile is now part of the OECD, so you see in the evaluations concerning environmental issues, Chile has a very bad evaluation still, and the whole institutions are still in the making. I mean, the same thing with energy. How long do we have a minister of energy?
I don't know, like
also not so long.
6 years? No. Yes.
Or less. I think maybe it's even was it first environment and then energy?
Yeah, no, energy first and then environment.
I mean, it's totally recent, so it's ministries that have to still, they first started off with very low staff. So for example, yeah, you can do regulations or changes, but then you have to implement them. You have to see if companies comply, for example, or whatever. And that's a process that takes time, no?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but people, I think, you know, maybe want smaller government. Now you're creating more jobs in order for somebody to go, you know, check and see, are these companies following these regulations? Are they following these laws? Yeah. This person has no idea. It's a brand new job. All right, what am I looking for? Okay, do they have a pipe of this size? And is it pointing into the river? Is it not pointing into the river?
Yeah.
So again, it's creating a culture. It's creating also a community for people to want to know, like, oh, you know, someone who lives in Arica or someone who lives in Punta Arenas, like, what do I need to care about? Why should I care about this? Why is this important? Especially when you start seeing, you know, tax dollars go to it or subsidies getting thrown to it. People don't realize it is against education and building that community.
Yes, yeah. A lot of education.
But I guess for business, for example, well, you see also that in the last years when we started off with Emprendo Verde, this network of sustainable startups, actually hardly no one was talking about sustainability in business as also as a business model and also something that consumers would ask for. And that has been increasing during the last years. So I guess in general, it has gotten easier to do businesses that have sort of a sustainable proposal, either be it a product that helps to reduce water usage, or be it in general a circular business model that really takes care of all the traces it leaves behind. But still, the yeah, on the client side, which is, for example, don't know, bigger companies and everything, sure, for example, in the whole agriculture sector, exports, as Chile is an exporting country.
Especially for agriculture, yeah.
Yeah, it sort of, from there on, clients are asking for example, in the whole wine business, clients abroad are asking for traceability, for example, of carbon emissions or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that pushes companies to, for example, do energy audits or implement solutions. Now we've seen in the agriculture business, for example, more and more companies drawing on renewables, also with sort of ESCO models, energy service companies, where a company does the investment and the agricultural company gives them a space to implement the photovoltaic solution, and then the energy company sells the energy to the agriculture company. And that is also thanks to new regulations. For example, now you have here the law of net billing, where you can then actually, if you generate more than you consume, you can sell it to the network. Mm-hmm. Now there are some changes, but
is that your network or
no? The no, general like network. General so network, you okay. are you're being a unity, or if you, for example, generate in a, at a time where you don't consume, so you can then sell it to the network, to the general network, electricity network. That is,
and that's just simply, you know general battery or storage for or the solar powers. I mean, for example, we have the panel, but we need the extra battery harnesses in order to pull all
well,
the electricity.
In that sense, you omit the batteries, because what you say is, for example, okay, you are an agriculture company, okay, you have an installation of, I don't know, 100 kilowatts peak, and when you don't use the energy that you generate, you can sell it to the network directly. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards in your bill they see what you generated and sold versus what you consumed, and then it gets sort of, yeah, your general bill gets down.
It's a pretty elaborate system.
Yeah, well, people are not totally happy with it, because first of all, they the distribution companies, they buy your electricity at a lower price in some cases. It also depends on the tariff you're in, and a lower price than what you normally buy from them. But anyway, but now also there's a change which is not so favorable, as they really, the distribution and generators, they're also concerned, because Chile is a country with a very high potential. If everyone starts to produce electricity, I mean, the sort of how you call it, a sort of a distributed generation system, where yeah. there are very small, a lot of very small units, could work here very good. And that obviously goes in deterioration of the business of big electrical companies. Mm-hmm. And that's why now they changed, in the sense that they really want to restrict it to self-consuming. For example, it could be the case that I have a lot of space and I can generate, but maybe my consumption is not so big, because I just have primary production of, I don't know, grapes or whatever. And my only system where I use electricity is to pump for the pumps. And then afterwards, I generate more than I consume. And nowadays you can still then, the distribution companies have to pay you. But now what they are changing is that if that happens, then you get sort of a credit, sort of you have a credit, and if you have another company or in your company you have another point where you consume, then you can transfer these credits to this yes. new point of consumption, but you are not getting paid for it. So in that sense, yeah, it makes it less attractive to do these, yeah, sort of a more distributed generation, in the sense that as such it's good. I mean, if someone wants to invest and wants to be a generator, I mean, why not?
And then you have to, you sell it to a half price that you buy with the company.
That's a 50% discount on your profits.
Yeah, so in that sense, it's a little bit... Yeah,
it's not favorable. Yeah,
no, it's not favorable for the people.
But it is more favorable than it has been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's.
But it's not the better.
Well, it's all about incentivizing people. People want to be incentivized. Even if you're teaching a child, you want. Why should I learn this? So what do you want to give me? So it's again, you're dealing with human beings. So how do we get them? How do we get them? Pull them in and say this is worth your while. Not just for money, but you know, it's also getting people to think, you know, past themselves. So the next generation, you know, why am I going to think 50 years ahead? Like, I'm only here for this long. You know, well, you have children or you don't have children, you know. And it's just from the small things to these giant proportional things. What else are you guys working on? You have an accelerator. what kind of thing, people do you have in that program right now?
Well, let me see. We have worked with things as diverse as reusable diapers to people that are working with green walls, to people that are working with developing biodegradable clothes washing soap, you call it. It's very diverse. The kind of then we had people trying
to has a bike company, people who has the app, l'aplicación móvil. I don't know. ¿Te acuerdas?
App.
Sí, the app. Ese que medía la huella de carbono.
That measures carbon footprint.
Carbon footprint with your traffic in internet.
Yeah.
Okay, and they have a point. For you, because you can buy carbon credits in 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Now the carbon credits don't exist.
Well, running an accelerator in like a green business field has got to be the most difficult because whether, like you said,
yes.
You know, there's no place for these, you know, brand new entrepreneurships that you guys are launching or these new businesses. There's no place or no one ready to use them or no one ready to launch them. So you're already, they have people with great ideas launching into fields that either don't exist yet or don't have it. How do you solve
that
problem?
And there's also, for example, the other day we were evaluating a business model for a sort of sustainable supermarket, somehow like that. And there sometimes you also get to the point where you say, well, actually the numbers are not... Yeah, sort of it's not so profitable because also Chile has the problem, which is very different from what happens in the US, where you have a large amount of people. So in general, if you are sort of in a, yeah, you have a business niche, even if it's a niche,
yes.
It's still a percentage. I mean, 3% of 300 million is different than 3% of 16 million. And 16 million is not 60 million because you have, for example, people living, I mean, it's 5,000 kilometers long, the country, and there's also very bad connection to some of the points. I mean, it's not, it's not so easy. So
it's not
actually,
New York to LA.
So actually you have 6 million and 3% of 6 million is not always a business, for example. It's only, in order to... That's what makes it sometimes hard for also new business ideas. We had another guy who was trying to start off something that in Germany has been very successful, which is sort of the whole cereal business, sort of having more diverse cereals from... you could mix your own cereal for the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Cereal, you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And he was sort of trying to only work with organic products, but many of the things that you would have in a cereal are not organically produced in Chile, so he had to import those things, which is already a little bit
wait for the tariffs on that. Yeah.
Well, and it's also, I mean, traveling around the world with an organic product is also then not reasonable, but okay, but it made it also more expensive. So at the end you had, I mean, you had few people buying it, but it was too expensive. It's not something everyone could access to. So it was a very, very reduced niche of people that would actually then buy it. And at the end they gave it up and left the
It's a specialty product that needs a community that has the money, that has the income in order to buy this product. But then again, like we go back again to the older part, it's community. You know, it's never just like, oh, you have a good product. Is there a community behind it? Is there an education behind it? And what is your guys' like number one struggle with, you know, bringing green green businesses and green ideas to South America?
Well, it's a good question.
It's a good question.
What is the one number one?
I studied. I was ready for that.
Okay.
Well, I think it's many factors. In general, I guess the market size in Chile. Well, if you have a product or a service, if you only look at the Chilean market, the market size makes it sometimes difficult for companies to take off, especially in, because I mean, as I was telling, I think that's one point. I think the consciousness is also obviously a topic, and it, as the market is small, often sustainable products, for example, are much more expensive, so that makes it then very unattractive, because in general Chile is expensive, but the general wages are very low. I mean, in average, I think the average wage is around $700, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the average wage, 400 mil pesos. And that's, I mean, you, even if you want to, it's sometimes then not enough to really then only buy a sustainable product. But I think there are a series of factors, but for example, in the whole renewable energies field, that is really taking off now, even though it's also not easy, but there are some companies that have done a clear business model, and they have, for example, now used this new regulation in order to propose, and they have investors, so in order to propose to people or to companies to invest them in a photovoltaic installation and do long-run contracts and selling them the energy they generate. That has really taken off in the last 3 years, I think. So, there are some sort of fields where it's easier, but other fields where it's a little... But, for example, the whole bike world has really taken off.
These orange rent bikes right here?
Which one's
the orange bike? I think I got a bank on them, like in the U.S. it's the city bikes.
Yeah, well, in the U.S. you also have these ones.
Yeah, Citibank is a sponsor for those bikes.
Well, here you had almost all the bikes when they started off. Itaú was a bank that first...
That's the one, yeah.
That first sponsored the public bikes. And now I don't know...
a tree system, yes. One of the Itaú bank is in the multiple... comunas? I don't know how it is.
Communes? Sectors?
Yeah, because Itaú one's right over here.
You have another in Las Condes, and you have another one bike are in every... in todas partes, I don't know.
But for example, the biking business has really taken off, so there are... I mean, it's not always difficult to introduce sustainable products. That's what I meant, or sustainable services. But if we want to generalize for those who have difficulties, it's a little bit about market size. Really people being compromised or not only being willing to spend, but also to have the money to spend a little bit more, as you don't have such a big market volume. And if you have to import, for example, if you go to some organic markets or sustainable markets where they sell any kind of product, you often have imported products. I mean, and an imported product is often then also... And an imported product, which is for small market needs, is then also much more expensive than the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you don't import huge volumes, so it always gets a little bit more expensive. So, I think.
Last time before I let you go, how did you guys link up? You know, you're in Chile, you're in Germany. How did you come here?
Well, I was here working. I was working in the field of renewable energies when I came to Chile. That's why I came here also. And then afterwards, I went to work with a... it was also a startup company that was working sort of with a... innovative products in the field of apiculture, well, sort of honey, but all the sub-products of bees. And there Umberto was he had already his own consultancy and he was advising. And that's how we met. And that company afterwards, it's a long story, but the investor then moved to Mexico and they were really slow in getting things running. So then the company stopped. And then as we already knew each other, then we said, well, why don't we start something, the two of us?
Yeah, I had to put some kind of context on that short, impactful, high content, 30 minutes. Thank you so much, guys. I'm going to let you guys go. But real
quick,
can you let people know where they can find you guys personally on social media, internet, wherever, as well as where they can link up with Emprendo Verde?
Yeah. Well, you can always check the Emprendo Verde website, which is www.emprendoverde.cl. Also our company side, which is ppartnergroup.com. And well, I'm also on LinkedIn, Annika Schüttler.
And I'm on LinkedIn Umberto Salinas too.
I'll make sure you guys send me the links. I'll put those in the descriptions. People can click on them and find you guys as well.
Great.
Okay,
and social medias, you have a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. For the
Umberto Salinas is mine.
and
Emprendo Verde also has
Emprendo
a Facebook.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful. Guys, thank you so much. I'm not going to
thank you.
Good trouble.
Hope you enjoyed.
Definitely.
Emprendo Verde, Humberto, Annika, thank you so much for taking time. I know we could squeeze this podcast in. It was short, but it was chock full of information. People are going to love it. Thank you so much, you guys. And big thank you to Launch Coworking for setting this thing up. People, remember, wherever you are in the world, there's probably a coworking space, especially in a big city. And go out and meet some of the incredible people doing some amazing things, launching brand new companies in these spaces. And even if you're in the city that you live in, you're going to go be able to connect and work with some incredible people. A great new thing. Guys, if you want to connect with Emprende Verde, you're going to do that on Facebook and Twitter at Emprende Verde. Again, those links are going to be in the bio. And if you want to connect with Humberto and Annika, that's going to be on LinkedIn and those will be in the bio as well. Again, anybody in Santiago, Chile, I highly recommend you head out to Launch Coworking. This is one of our first podcasts in this series. We're going to be talking to a bunch more entrepreneurs, startup people in the community. Going to be some great stuff. Really looking forward to it. Super excited about the first one. Stay tuned and make sure you go check out every other place. We're out at it on the Bus Podcast from our YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook, website, and that's going to all be at On the Bus Podcast. There's t-shirts, there's stickers, there's merchandise for you to buy. Thank you so much for everybody's done that. And everybody else, get your ass on the bus.
This is the moment for those who...